Good morning. Well, I'm so glad to be back. I want to thank the church for allowing me to go to India to visit my family and also for a mission trip. And I just want to give you a very brief report about it and maybe share what I learned and what we can actually implement within our own church context. So I went to India on December 31st. I think it was not December 31st. I started on December 29th after the church. I wanted to make sure that I was here for the last worship. And so on December 29th, Sunday, I left. By the time I reached to India, it was 31st. So that's what I remember. There are, you know, wonderful things happened there. I was able to preach at a church there. I was also able to preach at two different small gatherings. I had so many wonderful visits. In fact, like after this, after I went on the first or on the second, there was a marriage where the district superintendent's daughter was getting married, and so I was able to attend that marriage. Methodist Church's district superintendent. And I was able to meet with so many Methodist pastors and leaders and had a great conversation and maybe thought about some ways we can actually partner in days to come. One of the things I did there was to celebrate my parents' 80th birthday. So as they both are getting into their 80s and we wanted to celebrate, and it was basically Anna's idea initially, so thank you, Anna, for doing it. And so as we were thinking about it, I was thinking like, you know, that we would have around 100 people for that gathering. And so as soon as I shared my idea with my other brothers and sisters and my parents, and it seemed like there will be at least 300 people. And so the venue I was thinking to place, or we were thinking about it, we could not have 300 people. And so we had to divide that celebration into two different places. One, it was at the church where we had 150 people, and other places we had around 125 to 30 people. And so it was a grand celebration. And I was thinking like, so in the evening we would start, some sort of worship like at 6:30 and maybe have a quick sermon. And after that, you know, we will invite people to share their experience or their well wishes to my parents. And so I was thinking by the time, if we start by 6:30, by 7:30 it will be over. But this is India, right? And so it went up to 9 o'clock. And the venue which we booked, we had limited time, so we had to get out there by 10 o'clock. And so I had to tell people like, okay, we have to stop this and we have to go and eat our dinner. But as I was thinking about it, and so many people actually came and told me that, Rajiv, this was a great idea to do this. Because what happens, like in America, in India, that people have such a great legacies, they have lived such an amazing life, but unfortunately, they have never got time to hear the impact they had on people. And often, we do celebration after their passing. The only unfortunate part of that person is not there to hear that. And so one of the things I want to actually encourage as a church, that let us put this into practice within our church. Amen? Let us celebrate people while they are here so they can actually see and hear the impact they had. You know, Jeannie, Peter's memorial service was so amazing. There were so many things people wanted to share, and it could have gone for 3 hours as I was there. The only thing, like, he was not there to hear the wonderful stories. And so, dear people of God, I challenge us as a church to celebrate people while they are still here on the earth. Amen? Because as a Christian, we believe that, of course, when we go to heaven, we will share their stories and all that. But it might take a while for us to go there, right? So let us celebrate them here. And so, as a family members, think about if somebody's birthday is coming, that as a church, like, you can approach to me like, okay, Pastor Rajiv, somebody's birthday is coming and I want to celebrate that person's life. And again, so we would have that person maybe sit here on the stage, And then, you know, people just share their, some of their stories, you know, how that person impacted their lives. And then after that, we might have a small, you know, get together, small, you know, something to share with the church. And so, number one, let us think about that as a church, how we can celebrate. And prime responsibility is going to be immediate family members, right? So we could celebrate somebody's birthday. We could celebrate somebody's anniversaries. We could celebrate somebody, you know, different days. So just random celebration. Like, you know, I'm thinking about this person and I want to make sure that we celebrate that person's life. Amen? So how many of you are with me with this idea? Raise your hand. Okay, good job. I need at least 12 people because I was thinking to do at least once in a month. All right.
Well, could we take all the people in that month and maybe we could have a cake?
We could do that. The only problem with that is that we're not celebrating one person. We're celebrating so many people at the same time. And then due attention doesn't go to that person. So definitely we can actually do that. We can, on the Sunday, we can do that. But I was morally thinking like during the weekdays where we could actually have that person sit and then people come and just tell the story like, hey, you know, you don't know, but like this is how you impacted me. Or you don't know, but like when you were Sunday school teacher, I was just a child and what you told me about Jesus has still impacting my life. Or how you, you know, there are examples people would have. And so I want to have that kind of, it's, you know, I don't like, it's like, think about their memorial service, but they're still here. Amen? And so, number one, so I wanted to share this learning with you that let us do that. Let us celebrate people while they're still here. The other thing is, I was able to visit so many people, and everywhere I would go, people said, Rajiv, you're here, so glad you're here. Come and visit us, and I was able to visit people. So other thing I've been thinking and praying about it, and actually SPRC has asked me to do, is that I want to visit each family member this year. Amen? Now, every time when I think, if I call somebody that I want to come and visit you, they're thinking like, hey, do I have a cancer and I don't know and pastor is visiting me? No, the reason I want to visit you is not necessarily that I want to, that you need my visit. The reason I want to visit you is because I need your support. We need to grow together as a church. Amen? And like a friend, we don't only visit friends when they actually are in need of something. We visit because we just like them. We want to visit them because we enjoy their presence. We want to visit them because if they're actually going through some struggle, we have an opening to share with one another. Amen? And so the second thing I want to do, that I want to visit each one of you this year. How many of you are ready for it? Amen. Some people are not really, their hands are not there, but I think let's pray for them that by the time we finish the service, their hands will go up. And so I want to visit, and I know that some of you might struggle with me visiting your home and all that, and so let us have at least one time some coffee or lunch or just visit. And so I want to make sure that by the end of this year, I spend at least 30 minutes with each one of you. And with so many of you, I might even spend more time if you're open for that. But that is my personal goal as a pastor, and I want you to help me with that. Amen? Because I realize that how important it is for me to get to know one another, we as a church get to know one another, because I've noticed the fact that when there is some positive celebration, we invite other people from outside, but when there is some death and some memorial service, we want to invite church. Whereas I'm thinking like, as a church, let's celebrate everything. Amen? Good, bad, and the ugly. So anyway, so that was the second learning I had. And the third thing I want to share with you is like, you know, I want to be an effective pastor for 2020. I've been trying, and there are areas I'm growing and there are areas I'm struggling. And so feel free to come and talk with me if you think a good idea about like how can I be a good pastor. So this is an opening for all of us that you can come and share with me, where you can share some of your ideas and views and understanding about me. And hopefully, as a church, we will grow together. Hopefully, as a church, we will learn from one another. Going back to my trip to India, I had such a wonderful time visiting my parents. I had such a wonderful time visiting church members. I had such a wonderful time actually just going back and learning more about India. And there's another lesson I learned about India and I want to share with you. So, you know, in my house, my mom has started a prayer cell group 40 years ago. And they have been meeting for prayer every Friday. And even though sometimes when my parents are traveling outside, they would give their key to somebody else, and they would still open that house and they would still come and pray. And they asked me to share something about prayer in their prayer group. And as I was sharing with them, I opened up them. I said, like, you can ask me any question. And so one of their questions is about the, you know, about the Good Samaritan Church, you know, what, you know, tell us more about it. And I did talk about it. And as I was sharing, I kind of came to know about these two important things. Now, you know, John Wesley, he had these two important idea about the church and about individual. One idea was personal holiness, like how to grow spiritually and how to create or how to become a holy person. And that's why he was a part of the small group. That's why he had a very strict regulation about all the people who would actually attend the church. In fact, he had this strict rule that if you do not go to small group, you could not have a communion on Sunday morning. So he was very strict at that time for personal holiness. So that was one aspect of John Wesley. The other aspect was social services or social gospel or social care. In other words, if you are a committed Christian, if you're a personally holy person, that has to impact in the how you interact with the world out there. In other words, like if you say that I'm a Christian and I'm a holy person or I want to know God, and if you actually don't care for the world, there is something wrong with your idea. In other words, he had a very, very, very strong understanding of how as a church we have to influence the society around us. And so there was this amazing balance between personal holiness and also social concern for the people. In fact, it goes hand in hand with what Jesus taught in somebody asking question that Jesus tell us what is the greatest commandments, right? And Jesus says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That's the personal holiness. And then he says, and there is similar another one also, love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. In other words, if you're loving God and if you don't love your neighbor, there is something wrong with you. Or if you're just loving your neighbor and if you don't care for God, maybe there is also something wrong with you in Jesus' understanding, in John Wesley's understanding. And so going back to my trip to India, I realized that in India, there is such a great emphasis on personal holiness. You know, there are so many prayer groups because of this prayer group started within my small town, that there are so many prayer groups. People come together for prayer, and when they start praying, it goes for at least 3 hours. They would come at 2 o'clock and they would be hanging out there till 5 o'clock. And so they have such a strong understanding of personal holiness. They read the Bible, they talk about the Bible, they pray a lot. And so they are growing so much in their personal holiness. The only challenge that because as a Christian, they're in such a minority that they don't have a power to really impact the society out there. They don't have a lot of courage. They don't have a lot of strength. And so that part is weak in India. So the personal holiness is really strong, whereas, you know, social concern is weak. And when I think about Methodist Church in America, I think like we are on the other side. We have such a great concern for people. Amen. We go around, we want to march, we want to stand for the justice, and we do all those. And those are wonderful, wonderful things, as John Wesley did say, that we need to have care for the people out there. We need to care for the homeless. We need to care for the people who are marginalized and all that. And in fact, that is one of the celebrations we're having today is Martin Luther's Sunday, where, you know, the social impact of the spiritual gospel is so strong. Whereas I personally believe we struggle with personal holiness. And so often it's almost like, you know, I want to go and make a big impact. I want to go and change the world. The only trouble is that I haven't eaten that morning. And so here I want to go far as possible. But since I haven't eaten my spiritual food or my physical food, I can't go too far. Because In few minutes, I'll be tired. In few minutes, I will lose my vision. In few minutes, I will be discouraged as soon as something wrong comes along the way. And so, dear people of God, what I learned from India, that, you know, they need to grow in their concern for the world out there. And as a church, we need to grow. As a larger church, we need to grow in personal holiness. Amen. And let us do that. So as we pray, as we want to make the difference out there in the world, that in the morning, every day when we wake up, we say, God, once again, I give myself. Once again, I want to see your vision. Once again, please tell me what is the thing I can do to make this world a better place. And when I go out there to make the world a better place, I am not going with my own strength, but I'm going with you. Amen. And yeah, so these are the few things I learned from India. Now, actually, let us go into real sermon. What is time? I think we have time. Okay, let us read the scripture, and the scripture is going to be out there. Let us all read together. Okay. The next day, John was there again with 12 disciples. And he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say this. They followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "Where are you staying?" "Come," replied. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." Amen. So in this particular place in the Gospel of John starts with a very philosophical state. If you remember, in the beginning there was a Word, and Word was with God, and all that. So there was a big, long philosophical statement John is making in the first chapter. And slowly he actually introduced John the Baptist in the story. And just let's go back in our Christmas story. If you remember that in the story of Christmas, we talked about Zechariah. How many of you remember the person who saw the vision? And Zechariah's son was John the Baptist. Now, at this time, John the Baptist and Jesus, they have grown to be 30-year-old people. And John is 6 months older than Jesus. And now when Jesus is ready to be baptized, he goes to Jerusalem on Bethany side. And that's where John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And so every time when John the Baptist, when he will see Jesus, he would go in this idea, or he will go in this place of prophecy. And he would constantly talk about, "Behold the Lamb of God." And as it says, again on the next day, it same thing happened. If you would read in Gospel of John, on the previous day, the same thing happens. He continually telling to the disciples and the people that Jesus is such a great and mighty and such a amazing that I am not even worthy to touch his sandals. I cannot even untie his sandals, because even to touch his feet is like such a glorious thing for me. And so here, John the Baptist is constantly uplifting Jesus, constantly recognizing his greatness compared to him. And at this time, John the Baptist, he has few disciples of his own. But when they hear constantly talk about Jesus, such a great master, such a great God and all, then, you know, two of his disciples realize, like, if Jesus is such a great, then why are we following you? You know, and so at this time, these two disciples, they are following Jesus. And at one point, Jesus looks back at them and asks, "Where are you guys going?" And they says, "We are following you. And we want to see where you live." And that's where this phrase come and see. That's where Jesus invited them, "Come and see where I live." And so this morning, I want to just concentrate on those two words, "come and see." The first thing God is, Jesus is telling that, like, when you come and see me, you will realize that I am a very transparent person. You will realize that there is nothing hidden from you. In fact, at that stage, they go to Jesus where he was sleeping, where he was staying. And the scripture says they spend one day with Jesus. And in one day, their lives were drastically changed. In one day, they realize that Jesus gets tired just like us. Jesus sleeps just like us. Jesus gets hungry just like us. But there is something amazingly different about this Jesus. And we want to follow that lifestyle. We want to be like that Jesus. Now remember, in the Old Testament, when Moses wanted to see God, God says, no, no, Moses, there is no way you can see me and continue to live. In other words, the day you will see me, you will die, because I am such a holy and such a glorious God, and there is no human being can survive after looking at me. And here, that same God, the scripture says, became just like us and dwelt among us. And not only you actually see him, but you can actually hang out with that God. You can see where he sleeps. You can experience when he is hungry. You can experience him when he's thirsty. You can see his emotions. You can see his face. You can see how he reacts with other people. And that's what these two disciples had an experience. They saw God who is a transparent. They saw God who is right in front of them. They saw God who is just like them in every way. But his attitude and his reactions are significantly different to other people. And so, dear people of God, my challenge for us, that you and I will see that God in this year of 2020. Amen? We will see and notice that Jesus, that he's just like us in every way. He gets hungry. He gets thirsty. There are times he gets sad. There are times he actually cries. There are times he feels pain. There are times he feels isolated and lonely. But the way he reacts to all those emotions are way different than us. And that is, as a church, that's as an individual, let us learn that when we will come and see, we will see that transparent God. The second thing we see about these two disciples, come and see. You will see as a disciple that you have a life with meaning and purpose. Turn to your neighbor and says, neighbor, you have a life with meaning and purpose. See, these two disciples, they were just following John the Baptist. Like in those times, every time when they would find somebody who is compelling, who seems to have a greater impact on humanity, people wanted to just follow them. Like, hey, we want to be like you. We want to learn from you as much as possible. Seems like you have a lot to teach us, and please teach us as much as possible. But that would be end of it, learning from a master. But when these two disciples, when they came, and when they looked at Jesus and when they followed him, they realized that our lives are not just an ordinary lives. We are people with greater purpose and meaning in this world. In other words, if you're a teacher, we're not just going to teach children. If you're a doctor, we're not just going to cure people. If you're just a software person, we're not just going to deal with only software. But there is a greater and larger purpose God has for us in this world. And as a disciple of Christ in 2020, dear people of God, I pray that you will know the purpose God has for you. One purpose is to survive and to live a life, but there's a greater purpose. We should have it. And as we celebrate this Martin Luther Day, he found that purpose in his life. You know, often the secular media, they don't want to highlight the fact that Martin Luther was a Baptist pastor. He was a pastor at a church. And when you listen his speeches, often, you know, biblical phrases would just jump into that. Biblical phrases, so much of his understanding about humanity and God and people come from the book of Isaiah. I saw this beautiful place. I saw this, you know, lion and lamb hanging out together. I saw black and white coming together. That the vision is from the book of Isaiah. And so again, when Martin Luther, when he saw himself, he did not just see that I am just a Baptist pastor preaching around like few hundred people. Oh, no, no, no. I have a greater purpose in this world. I have a greater plan and purpose. And as he saw himself in the presence of God, he realized that God has called me to challenge the injustice in this world. God has challenged me to bring blacks and whites and everybody together. God has challenged me to challenge the church at that time. And so, dear people of God, I pray, it is my deep desire that you will see a greater purpose and meaning for you in 2020. Whatever we are doing, let us continue to do. There is nothing wrong with it. But apart from that, ask God that, God, what else I can do which can change the society, which can change the city in which I live, which can change the church I am part of. Because this is just a monotonous life. I go to work and I work hard and I get tired and I come back home, I eat my dinner and sleep, and the next day I go and I get my salary, I go to Old Navy, buy some nice shirts and shoes. And is that the all life is all about, even as a Christian? Or there is a greater purpose God has for me? And that's what happened to these two disciples when Jesus said that, come and see. Not only they saw God who is changed, God is transparent to them, but they also saw that God who gives a meaning and purpose to people's lives. And the third thing they saw, that they saw the need of humanity out there. They saw the fact that they were able to see outside people just as God would see them. And they realize that how much they need God. They realize that people outside of God struggling, people outside of God living in a very disparate lives, people outside of God living a very lonely and a confused life. And they realize that this is where we come into place, that God, we will see God's vision, God's purpose for our lives, and then we go out and make that impact in this world. And again, dear people of God, as we continue to celebrate Martin Luther's day, that how he changed the world, how he impacted the world. Even after all these years, we read his stories, we read his biographies, we hear his speeches, we hear his sermons. And what a life-changing sermons, what a life-changing story is that. Because he saw the need. See, when we look at his life, seems like his life was pretty okay. He was having a nice church, he was having a great family, and he could have survived without actually going out and doing anything by himself. But when he saw the need of the people, when he saw the injustice in the society, he could not stay any longer in his comfort zone. He had to go out, he had to make a difference, he had to sacrifice himself at one time. And that is why, dear people of God, we remember, that is why we have this, his stamp. That is why we have his sculptures, and that is why we respect him so much. He could have lived in his comfort zone. There are so many pastors, there are so many leaders, they lived in their comfort zone, right? Yeah, I have this nice church, I have this salary, life is great, I don't have to do anything in this world. But when we see, come and see God, like these two disciples, they had to go out. Like St. Thomas, he had to go to India. Peter had to die on the cross in Rome. Philip had to go to Europe and preach the gospel. They could not stay any longer in their confined and in their comfort zone. And I pray that God will make our life a little bit uncomfortable this year. Amen. How many of you are ready for it? Some people are saying no, but God is going to make it difficult for you. And the reason God will do it, dear people of God, is that, Lord, we will go out and make a difference so that even after our going, people will remember our name. People will tell stories about us as individual, as family, and as a church. Otherwise, we are no more different than the people out there. If you're just looking for our survival, if you're just looking for our comfort zone, if you're looking for our welfare all the time, and not ready to risk ourselves out there, we're no different than other people. So I pray that you will see the need of humanity and able to help people out there. Amen. So come and see. Come and see God who is transparent. Come and see that you have a purpose and meaning in your life. Come and see the need of humanity out there. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you. We thank you so much because once again you invite us as your disciple to come and see you. And when we come into your presence, we realize that you are so transparent. In fact, at one time in the Gospel of John, you said, I have told you everything I have learned from my Father. There is nothing secret in me. Lord, what a lesson for us as a children of God that we would be transparent to one another. We would let our lives so that people can see through us. And Lord, when we come into your gracious and wonderful presence, we will learn the fact that, Lord, we are people with meaning and purpose in this life. We are not just living a monotonous life, a boring life, a life which is only self-seeking, which is selfish life, only thinking about us all the time. But Lord, you want us to see a larger meaning and purpose for this life. And Lord, as we continue living your gracious presence, Lord, you will also let us see your desire for the humanity out there. You will let us see your purpose for the people out there. And when we will see people who are confused, when we people who are dying in their sin, when we will people see that they are struggling in their life, the people who need a shelter and care and need a physical help, Lord, you will challenge us. You will make our lives so uncomfortable that until unless we go out and make a difference, our lives are going to be restless within us. And so, Lord, I pray as a pastor that let it happen that, Lord, we might live a restless life so that we can go out and make a difference. And that is only when we will find peace in you. Help us to say yes to the invitation you give us. As you come, as you tell us to come and see you, to experience you, and live the life you have for us. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.